Good to see everybody here. So if you see in your bulletin, you will see that the title is, "Was That an Earthquake?" I know that seems kind of unusual, strange. You can just say weird. I know to me it would sound weird too, so it's okay. Hopefully halfway through, I don't bore you too much, and then you kind of get the gist of what I'm getting to before I get to the end, what I'm talking about. Let's pray. So, Father God, we thank you again for Jesus, for being our Savior, for being our Creator and our Redeemer. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with us, and may we continue to walk with you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, that's the beginning scripture. It says, that's in the bulletin. Now, I want to read, I think I have it on there. Let's see. So that's in the clear word. So it has a little differently. It says, "The so-called foolishness of God is wiser than men." And so it's about the same in the first part. "And the weakness of God." So it clarifies what the weakness of God is, which people say, Christ hanging on the cross. Well, him hanging on the cross, what's that got to do with being a sign of strength? But it's actually the weakness. I mean, the strength of God. And it finishes, it says, is stronger than man. So that's just a backdrop to what we're going to talk about. So talking about earthquakes, and, you know, they're mentioned many times in the Bible. There's times when the earthquake has occurred, and nothing's happened. It's just there's an earthquake and this happened and some things happened. But then there are several times when an earthquake has happened, there was a phenomenal event. But before we get into that, I just want to go over a little bit of the dynamics of an earthquake. So the word earthquake, and I like to do a lot of study, so it's going to kind of sound like a class, but I hope it doesn't sound too much like a class. So the word earthquake is mentioned 16 times in the Bible. And that's singular. The word earthquakes, plural, is mentioned 3 times. The word quake, just quake by itself, is mentioned 4 times. And when you see that, you'll see it says something like, the earth shall quake, or the earth did quake. So just like in a previous message I had about the word tomorrow is not in the Bible as together, but the word to space morrow is in the Bible. So it's kind of like that. So I want to get into some of the significance of an earthquake and why they're important in the Bible. So, but on our scale, the news, you know, before there was the internet, before there was computers or cell phones, it was just the written word, just the print, newspaper and magazines. And if you heard the word "stop the presses," then of course you knew that there was something that just happened. And before the newspaper was going to go to print, they would stop the presses, insert this event, and then they would continue on. So that was one thing that showed something significant had occurred or was about to be reported on. Something familiar, I know all the kids, we've all been kids before, so we've seen this before, the bat signal. You know, so, you know, if Batman saw the bat signal, then he knew what? The commissioner, something happened, there was something the regular police couldn't handle, and so he would be summoned to come take care of the situation. So something significant occurred. It wasn't just your regular robbery or something. The Joker has done something, or some other villain is on the scene and has done something that needs his attention. At the prison, we had, in the dormitories, there were televisions, and if we had something important to announce or something significant that we had to get to the inmates, we would go and unplug the TVs. They would hang on the walls, we'd just unplug them and turn them off. And then the inmates knew, sometimes we'd be loud, trying to get their attention, they wouldn't listen. But once you unplug the TVs, they knew something significant was going on. Oh, they just turned the TVs off, what's happening? Okay, everybody quiet down. And then we could inform them what's going on. So those things. So it's the same thing with an earthquake. Something significant has happened, okay? So just give me a few minutes. So this is a picture of an earthquake fault line. You know, you have the fault plane, the epicenter, you know, so we pretty much understand what happens. You got plates and one goes up above the other and that causes a shift in the Earth's crust. So, like I said, two plates, they shift, slip past each other, and these occur on what's called a fault line. I'm sure people have heard that term before. There's a fault line, and this is where the earthquake has happened. There's one in Edgefield. We know the West Coast has a lot of fault lines, and all around the world, there are fault lines. You've got foreshocks, which happened before the main earthquake, which is the main shock, and then you have aftershocks, which are smaller and occur in the same area. And so now into, just shift a little bit and go into the surface of the Earth. The Earth has many layers, but there's four main layers. You have the mantle, which is the, well, you have the outer crust, which is the top layer. Then you have the mantle, then you have the liquid core and the solid core. And like I said, then we have what's called tectonic plates and plate boundaries that are all over the world. So this picture, well, that kind of explains it there a little bit with the faults and the fault lines. It says, since the edges of the plates are rough, you know, they get stuck while the rest of the plate keeps moving. And then finally, when the plate has moved far enough, the edges unstick and they slide and then you have an earthquake. Okay. So I know you're probably wondering, what's this got to do with scripture in the Bible? So there's two major earthquakes that occurred in the Bible. One was, and of course Revelation has some, but I'm not going to go into that, but there was two main ones, and you probably know them. One occurred at the crucifixion of Jesus. There was an earthquake. And then when Jesus was resurrected, there was an earthquake. And so we're going to go into those now. Well, that showed the fault lines, different examples up, down, and to the side. So, and then that shows the other picture of the major fault lines around the world, you know, on different continents. Okay, and that's just the source, you know, so you can see where I got it from. All right, so the crucifixion of Jesus, Matthew 27, 50 and 51 and 54 says, so Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, or rent in half, or rent in two, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake. So it didn't use the word earthquake, it just said the earth did quake. And the rocks rent, and now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, I thought they would say felt, but it says saw, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So if you actually want to get the full effect or the full picture of the crucifixion, you have to read the whole chapter of 27, Matthew 27, from beginning to end, and that really gives you the backdrop of what occurred. So we see that the earthquake didn't happen until after Jesus died. It wasn't like, okay, there's an earthquake and Jesus died. No, he died, then there was an earthquake. It was like as if the earth was groaning, as if the earth suffered, the earth was sad that Jesus had died, okay? And so it's like the Father is trying to tell us, you know, pay attention. Something just occurred on the earth. Something physical, something spiritual, something earth-shattering has just occurred. All right? So, and even though Jesus has died, we know from the Word that it's not the end. We know that he's died, but it's still not too late. We still have time to repent and to tell his story. All right? So in verse 54, we see even that the centurion, you know, this is a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He wasn't one of the priests in the temple. This was a Gentile centurion, Roman soldier, that he noticed or observed and stated that this was the Son of God. And so the next one we're going to look at is, the resurrection of Jesus. Bless you. And this is found in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, so the Sabbath had just ended, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, which is Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher, or the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So we see that the earthquake occurred when Gabriel landed on the earth. So he was sent from heaven, hit the earth, boom, there was an earthquake. So that's showing a major event. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. So the angel is giving some comfort to there to two Marys there. And we see also in 28, we started in Sabbath school about the Great Commission. We had this commission to tell the world about Jesus. Okay? Now in the clear word it says, verse 54, it says, just before this, an earthquake had occurred when Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, came down from heaven, rolled away the huge stone, and sat on it. So here the clear word actually identifies who the angel is. Okay. So we see as a footnote, well, not really a footnote, but we can see that even the women, they waited until after the Sabbath was over. They didn't come Friday, he was crucified, took him down. They didn't have time to prepare his body for burial. So they rested on the Sabbath and they came back Sunday morning to finish what they thought they were going to find was a body in the tomb, but he had already arisen. So now, I don't know if you listened to the radio in the past, but there was a guy named Paul Harvey, and he would tell stories. And he used to say, he would tell part of it, and then he would say, and the rest of the story. So now here's the rest of the story. And this should tie in to what we've been going over so far. The scriptures are related, and we are related to the earth. What does Genesis 2:7 say? It says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we kind of take for granted that God made us from the earth. You know, he just scooped some dirt up, blew into it, and then man became alive. But we have a connection with the earth. And these earthquakes are an example. We'll see that in a minute. So we were made from the earth. We have a connection to the earth, not to the moon, not to Mars, not to Venus, but to this earth that God made us from. Okay? So there's a spiritual application, just like if you read the story of Jonah. He was in the fish for 3 days and three nights. We understand what that was signifying. And his journey onto Nineveh to preach to the people there, onto the sanctuary service and what it represents and signifies. So to make a quick transition, we're going to look at the layers of the human body, of the skin itself. There are three layers. Actually, there's four. We got three layers of skin, but to our body, we get to that fourth one in a minute. But we have what? We have the epidermis, the dermis, and the hypodermis. That's why sometimes you hear people say, well, this person suffered first-degree burns, second-degree burns, third-degree burns, because there's three layers to our skin. Also, we have what's called the core of the human body. That's considered the torso. So you kind of see the similarities of where I'm going? The earth itself had this four layers. The human body, we have four layers. The skin, then we have our torso, or the core. See, so that's Romans 8:20. It says what? It says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, not just us, not just the people, but the whole creation, the earth itself, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, talking about Jesus' return. So the earth is feeling what we're feeling, in a sense, okay? And it says 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body being changed into incorruption. So this is how it reads in the clear word, starting from verse 20 on through 23. It says, all creation has suffered because of man's rebellion and sin. It says, nature did not choose to rebel, yet God allowed it to suffer with us. You see that? We are suffering with the creation. So these things that happen on the earth, we feel that in a way, kind of spiritually too. It says, it can look forward to the restoration of all things just as we do. And we know at the end, God is going to recreate this earth. He's going to burn sin up, recreate the earth. It says, 21, yes, nature itself will be delivered from the effects of sin, freed from decay to flourish as God's children will. We know that all creation has been groaning under the load of sin, suffering like those in childbirth from the beginning of our rebellion until now. Not only is nature groaning, the earth is groaning, but so are we who have tasted the first fruits of the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit as we wait in hope for the gift of a new body. So we see the connection we have with the earth, not just, okay, God made us from the earth and then that's no other connection to it. No, we have a connection to the earth. Earth is our home. So we see, just as has been mentioned in Scripture, just as nature is groaning, is suffering, is feeling the effects of sin. We know we're feeling the effects because we live it every day. But there's this connection with the earth also that's going through these things. It's not in the Bible just for show to say, okay, the earth is groaning or whatever. It's saying we have a connection there. Oh, that is Revelation. So Revelation, it says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true. So to tie it all together, as we talked about the earth and the earthquakes and the things the earth are going through, we have fault lines too, right? Or we have faults. So there's, you see that connection? Earthquakes, the earth has fault lines. So we have faults in our character. We have things that cause a disruption in our lives. So if someone pushes us the wrong way, if someone touches our faults in just the right way, like an earthquake, if you have just the right amount of pressure in just the right spot, you know, what happens? We get upset. We lash out. We do things that we normally wouldn't do. So we have fault lines in our characters, in our lives, that God is trying to correct. He's trying to smooth them out. But when things happen, then the same thing as the earth. There's a disruption. There's something going on that causes something to happen. And God is saying, okay, you need to pay attention. Just like the shock waves. You have the pre-shocks or the foreshocks. There's things that we can see things build up. You know, someone says something, you get kind of irritated, but you don't address it. And then as time goes on, the pressure builds up. You get a little bit more upset, may even get angry. And things can happen. Then next thing you know, you lash out. That's like an earthquake. It's a fault line. It's the fault. If someone pushed me in the wrong way, just right, I'm subject to do something I normally wouldn't do. And so that's what we have to do. We have to surrender our lives and our circumstances to God. We have to surrender them, our faults. And that's the beauty of God. God will take our faults. He doesn't want the good stuff from us only. He'll take our faults. He'll take our bad parts. He'll take the things that we don't like, the things that people see in us that they don't like. And God said, give it to me. I'll take it. Give it here. I'll get rid of it. That's the beauty of God. So As we close, whether we realize it or not, that, you know, and I'm not putting down scientific stuff, but, you know, I look at the space station and people want to go to Mars and want to go to other galaxies and that kind of thing. It's like, why are you trying to get away from the Earth? You know, God made us from this planet. We're here. Why are you trying to get away? You know, we need to stay here and help each other out. You know, take care of the Earth that God made for us. So we're linked to this Earth. Things that happen to us, things that happen to the Earth, we're connected. We're linked to it. And our faults don't have to be the end of the story. You know, we can get rid of those faults. Well, let me rephrase that. God can get rid of those faults. We can't get rid of it, but God can make those ways, those paths smooth. Just like John the Baptist, he says he's the forerunner. He made the path smooth for Christ to come. So Christ wants to do the same thing for us. He wants to get those faults out of us. He wants us to be with Jesus. So we have this hope, like that song we sing, we have this hope. We have this hope in Jesus that if we pass away before he returns, that we will live again, just as Jesus lives now, that he was resurrected as we study in Sabbath school. And one day, as we know in Revelation, that the earth will be made new. It's going to be recreated. Everything's going to be new. We're going to be new. So we have this promise from Jesus himself that we will be there when he makes all things new. Let's all be there together. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you again for being our friend. We thank you, Lord, for this earth that you created. And Lord, we realize that we are connected in more ways than we realize. But Lord, we know that you will make all things new when you return. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for scripture that we can trust, that we know is true, and that won't steer us wrong, because you used it yourself. So we thank you for the word that we have to read and study. And may we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us into all truth. We pray, Lord, you be with us now as we depart from here. And may we take you with us as we journey throughout this new week. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.